Banks and Brother Reed for the invitation to come and be with you again. I was checking, and I haven't been in Gretna since 2019, so it's about time for us to be back together. And we have a good family from Midtown join us this morning. Actually, Corey texted me. He told me before I left that his mother lived in this area. And I said, well, give me her number and I'll call her. And when he texted me yesterday, I thought he was going to invite his mother to come. And Joyce tapped me and pointed, and in walked Corey and Tamika and the whole family. And I'm just glad to see all of you. And I thank you for coming to be with us today. The theme is walking with God, learning to walk with God. And this is how I want to approach the message this morning. I want to read in these texts that I've given you and that you can see on the board. And I want you to think about these, because when it comes down to walking with God, one of the things that has been impressive to me for a long time is that there are people who walk so closely with God that they never died. They never saw death because they walked with God. And at least I think that challenges us to think about walking with God. And while you might say on the one hand, Brother Ed, I'm not that good. I can't be that righteous. At least I think you can learn to walk closer and to be more of what God wants you to be, learning to walk with God. I'm reading in Genesis chapter 5, beginning at verse number 21. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God. That's our foundational text. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years, and he had sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. You don't know a lot about the life of Enoch. What we do know is he walked with God and God took him. He never died. God just took him. In Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse number 1, the Bible says, by faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, therefore, he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him by faith. Don't forget, we'll come back in just a moment. But noticeably now, this man Enoch, who was translated, so walked with God, and he did so by faith. Before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, you cannot please God. One other one in the book of Jude, Jude verse 14. He's talking about ungodly people in verse number 13. Wild waves of the sea casting up the foam of their own shame. Wandering stars for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. It was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Now you noticed, I'm sure, that in every one of those texts, there's something about Enoch, this man who walked with God. Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. And Enoch made the hall of faith. And Enoch prophesied against ungodly people. Just a little note in passing by. I don't think Jude's mention of Enoch means the book of Enoch, Old Testament apocryphal book, ought to be in the canon of Scripture necessarily. That's how some people reason. If the book of Enoch is mentioned in Jude, then why wasn't the book of Enoch included in the canon of Scripture? There are a number of explanations for that, but I'm not trying to prove the book of Enoch when I say Enoch actually prophesied against ungodliness, and Enoch was included in the book of Jude. But this man who lived a righteous life and God took him. And when you just start thinking about people like that, there are others in Scripture. Elijah walked with God. And sometimes in a sermon, not to trick anybody, I ask, how was Elijah taken? And pretty quickly people say, he was taken in a chariot of fire. But Elijah wasn't taken in a chariot of fire. The chariot of fire just separated Elijah and Elisha. They were good friends, walking and talking as good friends should and do. And the chariot of fire appeared and separated them. I think sometimes the song tricked us just a little bit. I looked over Jordan and what did I see? A band of angels coming after me. Swing low, sweet chariot. But Elijah wasn't taken in a chariot. The chariot of fire separated them, and God took Elijah up in a whirlwind. And he was gone. They looked for him, but they couldn't find him because God had taken him. And I think the best example in the Bible, among others, is probably Jesus. That Jesus died and was buried and resurrected, and he was still talking to the 12 apostles. And he just started rising. And he kept going. And a cloud received him out of their sight. And they stood there just gazing until finally an angel said, "Why are you gazing like that? The same Jesus that you saw go will come back like you saw him go." These people who walked with God, Jesus, yes, perhaps a little different category because he is God, but still people who lived in this world and so walked with God that they never saw death. They were translated. God took them and they were gone. What are we learning? And how might we think through that this morning as we begin our thoughts about walking with God? Here's the first thing that I would really like for you to begin to think about. If you really want to walk closely with God, you must learn to walk by faith. That's such an important idea, because walking by faith is not quite as easy as we sometimes make it. Listen again. Now, faith is really the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that do appear. What we see was not made out of visible stuff, that God started making stuff and speaking things into existence and asking us to trust him above everything else. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice. By faith, Enoch walked with God, and he had this testimony about him, that he walked with God by faith. And then I don't think it's accidental that in verse number 5, Enoch walks with God by faith, and verse 6 is the verse that we've quoted so much. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For everyone who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Faith. If you say, "I'm going to walk with God," I would say, then you're going to have to start learning faith. And I want to say something else about it, because I want you to get it. We're a little confused in our world. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. that I believe in what I cannot see. Can you do it? Do you have faith? I'm talking about real faith. Watch worldly confusion. Sometimes people say, well, Barrett, I got good faith now. I'm going to get something that I really want. You know, I'm claiming this promise. I believe I'm going to get that gift. I'm going to get that new car. But I just got the faith. I let me teach you something. That's not faith at all. Has never been faith. Just because you want it, you desire something really badly, you claim it, you believe it, that's not faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I'm constantly trying to teach people that faith is the basis of promise. God said it. And I believe it. Even though sometimes he says, what I cannot see, but I believe it. Because God said it. And the only reason I believe it is because God said it. If God hadn't said it, I wouldn't believe it. Watch the connection. Not only would I not believe it, I wouldn't follow it if God hadn't said it. You see, that flies in the face of, it's just something I want. I just got the faith that I'm going to get it. I believe it. That's not faith. Faith is based on what God said. God said it, and I believe it. Abraham, you're going to have a son, and you're way too old. And Sarah, you're going to have a, and you're way too old. But because God said it, just because God said it. We'll give you another one. Sometimes people almost refuse faith because they say in their minds, well, Brother Ed, I know what the Bible says, but, and any time you hear that, you kind of think that's going to run against faith. I know God said it, but what? Well, you know, God gave us five senses. Well, I want to teach you something else. God knew that he gave you five senses when he asked you to trust him. Because sometimes trusting God flies in the face of our five senses. That'd make a bit of sense. Gideon, take that army of 300 people and go fight against 135,000 Midianites. Do you know what Gideon started with? He started with 32,000 soldiers. And then they said, everybody who is fearful and faint-hearted, go home. 10,000 people left. Did you hear what I said? Because if you're just using senses, your common sense is not God's faith. If you want to walk with God, then you've got to learn how to trust him. No matter what your senses say, no matter what the world says around you, you've got to learn to follow God. And that's not always easy. But if you're going to walk with God, you've got to learn good faith. Enoch walked by faith. Let me cause you to think about another one. I think about this one when I think about Elijah. Probably applies to every person who learns to walk with God. But Elijah was actually a praying man. I think I flipped it out of socket, but I'll put it back and you can kind of keep up with me. No, that's not going to work. Elijah, though, was a praying man, and I want you to think about Elijah as a praying man. I'm going to read for you in just a minute. Something went wrong. The sacrament, if you really want to walk with God, you must learn to pray. And in this idea of praying, in the book of James, chapter 5, there's a passage that I want to read. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. And he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. If you want to walk with God, you've got to learn how to pray. I'm the second preacher our church has had, and this is not spreading any kind of unworthy news. The first preacher would tell the story often himself. His wife was sick and dying. And he said, he looked at her and said, "Honey, why don't you pray?" And she looked back at him and said, "Moses, I don't know how to pray." And I still use it to raise this question for people. Do you know how many people there are in this world who do not know how to pray? They've never learned how to pray. Don't be shocked. John taught his disciples to pray. Jesus had to teach his disciples to pray, and we have to teach people that if you're going to walk with God, you've got to learn how to communicate with God. You've got to learn how to pray a lot. You might be surprised at how many people there are in this room who have never learned to pray. They don't know how to pray. But if you're going to walk with God, you're going to have to learn to pray a lot. You've got to learn how to do it. And you're going to have to do it often. You're not going to make it if you don't learn to pray. In that James 5 text, starts with people who are rich, and a warning, be careful about being rich. And then it comes down to people who are extorted by the rich. And then he starts giving us ways to do it. If you really want to make it through life, you've got to be patient and you've got to learn to pray. I don't care who you are. You're going to need to pray. Occasionally, our young people will come to me and say, Brother Ed, I'm going off to college, and I know what you're going to major in. I'm going to major in X, and I say, how are you going to use that in the kingdom of God? And then I raise these kind of questions for you. Are you learning to pray? Do you really, really know how to pray? Because I don't care what you do and how you come out, you're going to have to learn how to pray. You say, I'm going to get my degree in X, and I say, good for you. Get the degree, but in passing, learn to pray. Because you're going to need the Lord. You're going to need him. I don't care what your degree. I don't care what your profession. It's all fake unless you learn to pray. Sometimes people get degrees in certain things and they think that means this and that means the other. And we forget that God is in control of everything. You can do whatever you want to do, but you're going to need the mercy of God. So as you walk along the way, learn how to trust him. Learn how to pray. And I think I like this one most of all. Jesus learned to live a very focused life. He came into this world for a purpose, and he knew his purpose, and he accomplished his purpose, and then he caught a cloud and went back home. One time in the middle of discussing with his 12 apostles, he started talking like this. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh. I'm the bread of life. They were questioning him at one point. Our fathers in the Old Testament, we had manna. And Jesus said, your fathers didn't give you that manna. My Father gave you that manna. And I am the true bread of life. That bothers people. So the Jews disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him, as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father. So whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread that the fathers ate and died, whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. What are you talking about, Jesus? I'm talking about you really got to learn how to partake of me. Not literally eating flesh, but learning how to eat God's word, to digest it, to live by it, to really live by it. And the more he talked about people eating his flesh and digesting who he really is and learning to walk with him at deeper levels, the crowds just started to dwindle because people can't hardly digest that. These people who learn to walk with God and who are translated are not many. They're few and far between because it's a difficult thing to develop faith and learn to pray and so communicate with God that you're eating him and digesting him and wanting more of him. And the crowds just dropped off. Finally, Jesus looked at the 12 and said, are you going to? He doesn't change anything about walking with God. He doesn't say, well, all right, guys, listen, if you want to... Maybe I'm making it too difficult. So I'll just ease off a little bit and back up. Don't worry about it. You don't have to be that serious about all of this stuff. He didn't make it easier at all. He just kept driving it. Are you going or are you staying? You're going to walk with me or not? And that's when Peter looked at him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's just Peter's way of saying, if we don't learn to walk with God, we don't have any other choice. If you don't learn to walk with God, you're going to lose your soul. There's one other one that Enoch warns us about in this walk with God. He does a pronouncement against the ungodly people. And in that pronouncement against the ungodly, he starts talking about these ungodly people who do these ungodly deeds in ungodly ways. And then he says, stay away from those people. You're gonna have to learn how to stay away. We're just talking about walking with God. It's our initial sermon. If you're going to learn to walk with God, you're going to have to walk by faith. You're going to have to learn to pray a lot because you're going to need some help. And if you walk by faith or walk in prayer, you're going to have to learn how to live by his word and live with a greater spiritual focus in this life. So that we know who we are, we know what we're doing. We're trying to be focused to go where God is, and we're going to keep dropping off this ungodliness and ungodly ways and ungodly people who do ungodly things and ungodly ways. You're going to have to learn to leave all of that further and further behind so that when you die, if you're not translated or changed, when you die, you're resurrected to live with Enoch and Elijah. And yes, Jesus. That's our sermon for this morning. That's what I'm wanting you thinking as we learn to walk with God. And at least you can begin to think, I'm going to learn to live a little more focused. and you'll let this world be who this world is going to be, and you'll learn to walk with God. Now, there are some people in this room who haven't even gotten on the journey because you've never named the name of Christ. You've never become a Christian. You've never started the Christian walk. If you're here this morning and not a Christian, you can become a Christian. If you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you're willing to repent of your sins, to make a confession with your mouth, you can be buried with Christ in baptism and resurrected to walk a new life in Christ Jesus. If you haven't done that, you haven't even started on your spiritual walk. And we invite you to start. If you've started that, but you haven't really walked with God, I'm challenging you to live with a greater spiritual focus. If you're subject to the invitation for whatever reason, now's the time to respond as we stand together to sing our song of encouragement.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste, to its brink. 'Tis the fount of our love from the source.
Tell you something, and then we'll sing one other verse, and the invitation will be whatever it needs to be. But you know, I go almost every year to preach a gospel meeting where I grew up, little church in Meeker, Oklahoma. And even this year, I was made very aware of it, that people I grew up with will come to hear me preach and say a bunch of nice things. Brother Ed, you've come a long way. You've really grown. You've done, you know, all that stuff. I went to Meeker this year because of that. I went to Meeker this year almost kind of, I'm tired of that. I don't need to hear all that. I've outgrown all those comments. I'm talking about the Lord and walking with God. And for me to go preach to my classmates and them to say, "Brother Ed, you're doing good. We're proud of you." I don't need all of that. I'm talking to you about walking with God. And that's what I'm really after. I don't want you to just look and not change anything. Christianity is about change. You've got to be changing and growing. And it's real easy to go to church every Sunday, sit up and listen to a good sermon, leave and change nothing. All right, I'm after you really learning to walk by faith, learning to pray, learning a greater spiritual focus, leaving the world behind, and we just think about that for a minute. Consider it. You don't have to consider it for everybody else. Consider it for yourself. Just do it for yourself. If you need to respond, if you need help, we're not going to sing the invitation song a half a day. If you need help, you know it already. Let's pray about that. Let's think about that. If you're subject to the invitation for whatever reason, now is the time as we sing the last verse of the
encouragement.
696. There's a rock that's cleft, and no soul is left that may not its pure water shed. It is for you and me and this tree I see. Let us hasten joyfully there.
Will you come to the fountain free?
Church.